Keep cool this summer when you shop ceiling fans at Menards. Upgrade your space with a quick install ceiling fan from Patriot Lighting. They're loaded with extra features that will make your ceiling fan install a breeze. Plus, they reduce energy costs, helping you save time and money. Save big on our great selection of ceiling fans. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
4th and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Thursday afternoon. Don't forget, tomorrow, Friday, May 22nd, three-year anniversary, the Predators eliminating the Anaheim Ducks and punching their ticket into the Stanley Cup Final. And you can hear Pete Weber and the best calls and the moments of that Game 6. We are going to have our Game 6 remastered where the three of us talk to people in the front office, whether it's General Manager David Poyle or President and CEO Sean Henry, or players to kind of take us through that magical run of the 2017 Stanley Cup playoffs. And, of course, it's all about the series in the Western Conference Final against the Anaheim Ducks and, of course, that Game 6. And you are going to hear all of that starting at noon tomorrow on our show. 2 hours, noon to 2 o'clock, Game 6 remastered. You will hear it for the first time, and we are very excited about it. And I hope you get a chance to basically block out 2 hours of your day or just multitask. You can work and listen to it, and we would really appreciate it. It is going to be well worth your time. Also, Philip Forsberg will join us tomorrow on the show before we unveil Game 6 remastered. We say hello and good afternoon to Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. 31 Thoughts, something you always need to check out. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you guys doing?
We are doing fantastic. It's a little bit warmer up in Toronto these days. Last week was not encouraging.
No, it's been a beautiful couple of days. It's fantastic. We bought a basketball hoop. I spent 5 hours putting it together last week, and we can actually do it.
Oh, is this something in ground or above ground?
No. It's not in ground. It's above ground, and it's an adjustable one. It was a battle, but I teamed it at the end.
You won.
Yeah, I won. Elliot 1, basketball hoop 0.
Well done. So do you think 24-team format is what's going to win when all this is said and done?
It looks like it. I think there's still a couple of tweaks, guys, that have to happen here. But, I think it reaches the point, like, no matter what you do, somebody's going to hate it, right?
Yep.
No matter what you do, somebody's going to look at it and say, all right, I don't like this or I don't like that. Nothing's going to be perfect. And I think the players are like, what are we coming back to if we come back? And the league wanted to get some buzz. So I think they just finally said, what's the best plan that we can come up with? And this is going to be it. And, you know, so I think what we're looking at is it's conference play. It's not division. It's 24 teams, top four get a bye. Now, one thing I wasn't sure was if those games between the top four, because they're going to play each other once, matter. But one of my teammates, Chris Johnston, who works with me at Sportsnet, he reported today that there is going to be a mechanism where those games are going to matter. So some seeding, like I thought for sure, like for example, if you guys played Arizona, that you were going to play Vegas. Now Chris says there's a chance that that may actually move around a bit. So those top four teams are going to get a bye. They're going to play each other once, and then it's 5-12, 6-11, 7-10, and 8-9 with bracketed like the NCAA tournament in terms of who the winners will play. But the players are talking today about it. I think some of the teams knew about this already, so I think that's been kind of moved a bit further along at the league level. But they're working towards trying to improve this one. And I think if they can, they would like to get it improved by like the end of the weekend if they could.
When talking about this, Elliot, on the show, we were kind of talking about the hubs. And I said it needs to be uniform, that either you allow teams to host in their arena as the hubs, all the hubs, the four hubs, they would, it could be in an arena in that division. Or you don't. It's going to be neutral. In other words, you know, some of the things we've seen is obviously Minnesota gets pushed into the Pacific. You, to me, you can't have Minnesota hosting the Central Hub, but yet have Vegas hosting the hosting the Central and Vegas hosting the Pacific Hub, if that makes any sense. I think it needs to be uniform, one or the other. How do you feel about it?
Well, I can tell you this, that there are people who feel that way. I personally, I hate to disagree with you, but I think it's silly. Like, it's going to be totally antiseptic. There's going to be no fans in there. You're all going to be staying in hotels. Like, to me, it's not a big deal. But I confess that there are people who feel the way you do, and I think it's being considered. I think what that probably comes down to, guys, is A, how many hubs do they go with, and B, where do they go? I know there were reports last night that we were going to two hubs instead of four, two of 12. And I have to tell you that that whole idea of the top four getting buys and playing each other once, that indicates to me that we are going to two times 12, but I can't say that for certain. I think it's going to be two, and I know that that has come up about should the home team be allowed to play there. There's some people who are against it, but at this point in time, I don't know where it's going to go. I would be surprised, though, guys, if Vegas wasn't involved. To me, everybody I talk to thinks that Vegas is going to be involved here somehow.
Then who would be the logical choice in the East?
Well, I think there's a couple of places. I think that Columbus has come up. I think that Pittsburgh has come up. And I think that Toronto has come up. But the border is a tough one here. Like, if there has to be a 14-day quarantine, I don't think the players want to do it. So I would say right now in the East, if there was to be an Eastern city, I would say the most likely choices are Columbus or Pittsburgh.
I've been to all three of those, as you know, as Willie has, obviously. And Chase, I don't know. I don't want to speak for you. I know you've probably been to all three as well. The setup, I mean, to me, can Pittsburgh or can Columbus pull off 12 teams as a hub?
They've been very aggressive about it. Like, the one thing about Columbus is they have a good rink. They have a practice facility in the rink.
Yes.
So that's a big deal.
Okay.
Because that means that, like, I mean, the number one thing is safety, right? And can you keep everybody contained? If everybody's in the rink, then, and they would be in Columbus, that's a big bonus for them. Now, I heard the biggest question was hotel space.
Right.
But I think that the fact that Ohio was one of the first states to be really active on this, I think really helps them. The modern rink really helps them. And the fact the practice facility there helps them. And they've been very, very aggressive. Pittsburgh also, modern rink. I don't know how the hotel situation is there. But one of the things that I know that the Pittsburgh were championing was, you know, their university medical health setup is really good.
Yep.
And you'd have to bus to their practice facility, but it's also still very good. So I think, to me, if it's not Toronto, I think those two cities are probably the lead ones.
I mean, I think Pittsburgh's hotel setup is better than Columbus. But still, I mean, to me, if you're just talking about, you know, the no-brainer, it's Toronto. And I realize you've got the border situation that you brought up. But Toronto is, you know, definitely the most equipped, hands down. Okay, so here is, you're right. I get it. There's not, if we're talking about no fans, there's no home ice advantage. And that was not the point of being uniform. I wanted you to know where I was coming from. My angle is, okay, so if there's a home team that is hosting, do their players get to go home, or do they have to be neutralized in a hotel just like everybody else? How does that work?
My information was everybody's going to be in the bubble.
Okay. Okay, so there would not be the ability to go home.
As far as I know, like, when I asked this once, I was told everybody in the bubble. But as you know, this story changes almost every day. But
yeah,
that's the information I had originally been given.
Okay.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman from 31 Thoughts, Sportsnet.ca, Hockey Night in Canada. And Elliot, one thing in your piece that I didn't really see discussed one way or the other that I had in some previous things that were floated out there earlier in the week was some sort of buildup to the playoffs where you would play these play-in games. For example, you have Nashville matched up against Arizona in a 2 out of 3 or maybe a 3 out of 5. And that would seem to me to be really tough.
No, it's
going to
be 3 out of 5.
Okay, so 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5, yeah.
Okay, so what about some sort of bridge between a training camp period and then your first game being a playoff game? It seemed to make sense to me that a little round robin that you could jockey the seeds a little bit would be important so you would, you know, feel like you had a few games under your belt before you're playing for all the marbles.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think that one of the biggest concerns, and the players did want to do something like that, I think the league's concern was that we just can't waste any time. Like, we don't know what our calendar is going to look like here. Who knows? Like, one of the things I know the league has been really worried about is the second wave, right? And, you know, now we're seeing some rises in cases, but, I mean, is it because we're testing better? Is it because more people are going out, like the rules are loosening? There's a lot of different theories on this. But one thing that everybody seems to agree on is there's going to be a second wave. And I know because one of the things people have told me is the commissioner is constantly discussed is beating that second wave. So I think they were against games that didn't have some meaning to them because they just worried they weren't going to have enough time and they had to get a fair and legitimate playoff done as quickly as they possibly could.
So that really creates some interesting. And it, as you mentioned, there's still a lot of details to work out about the safety and everything. But putting that aside and just looking at the competition itself, imagine some of the decisions that will have to be made of who's in the lineup. You know, how do you go about it if your first game is a playoff game and you don't have a whole lot of slack in the rope if you fall behind one game to none? And think about the randomness that we might see in some of these series where a team that just sort of hits the reset button, hadn't been playing very well, or had been playing very well, is in a really different place when we get going here. I mean, that's going to be incredible to watch.
Well, I mean, it is. There's no question about that. You know, I mean, one of the big topics has been, you know, you guys have Swedes, and I don't know how many of them went back to Sweden, but the Swedish players have been able to skate. So you would think that some of those guys might be ahead. Now, I think we're looking at training camps. If everything can go the way everybody hopes, is I think they're aiming for around the third week of June and maybe like a three-week training camp. I have always believed that the NHL wants to start the playoffs around the NBC Olympic window, and that was the last week of July. So I think they're looking to get the players back in their training camps, in their cities for a training camp about a month before that. So, you know, and I do think I've heard guys that, you know, teams are starting, as these restrictions are starting to loosen up in their various cities, they're starting to look at, okay, when can we get ice? Like in Ottawa, the rinks are starting to open up. There was a story the other day about players looking to skate. In Vancouver, I heard some stories yesterday about some players. Oh, the rinks are starting to open. When can we go skate? Now, there's a limit to the size you can skate with, but I think you're going to see a lot more players starting to do this in North America. And it doesn't even matter if they're on the same team. Just get on the ice and skate. So they're going to start to work out. But there's no question, guys, like this is going to be unprecedented. And the other thing that's part of that is, you know, A, are there going to be any players who say they're not comfortable playing for health reasons? And B, I would assume, like, you guys had a really good year in Milwaukee this year. I would assume that the rosters are going to be around 30. So there might be, you know, somewhere between 8 and 10 guys from Milwaukee coming to join you with the Predators.
Have the European players been told to come back, or do you think it's more be on standby, be on alert?
I think it's B. I think, you know, they're starting to say, I've heard some guys are starting to look into, okay, you know, when do I get back and how do I look into getting back? And I think the other thing, too, that these teams are going to be looking at is, you know, a number of these players, they might their leases might soon be up on their places, right?
So
where are they going to be staying?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, Elliot, address one other thing, because this has been kicked around a lot in the whole 24 team as opposed to 20. The competitive balance issue of do some of these teams deserve to be in this tournament and given a chance? Have they earned a chance to win the Cup, even though it might be a very minute chance, like Chicago and Montreal? I know you've had that debate, so what are your thoughts?
Do you guys remember the movie Unforgiven?
Oh, yes.
Deserves
definitely.
Got nothing to do with it. Look, I work for a TV station, right? So, I'm at the root of all evil here. There's a reason that the Rangers in Chicago and Montreal are coming here, right? And that's for TV eyeballs. Why are they playing? Number one, they want to play because I think a lot of guys actually want to play. But it's about the finances of the whole thing, right? And particularly TV rights. In the States, where obviously you guys are, you want to try to get to 70 games on your regional network or you owe money. And, you know, I think that's what it's all about, guys. And, look, I know that Montreal – and to be honest, I've had this conversation. I bet you if you asked Montreal quietly, would you rather be in the lottery – for your 6% shot at this kid from the Quebec League who's going to be the number one pick, Alexis Lafreniere, or would you rather take a long shot run in the playoffs? I bet you a lot of people in the organization would rather have the kid.
Yes.
But, you know, this is being done for financial reasons as much as anything else. It's being done for your TV contracts. You're going to make it as, you know, you're trying to save some of your finances, right? You're going to have to put your big eyeball teams in.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts. So with this conversation, too, as you mentioned, you work for a TV station. Obviously, the broadcasting aspect of this is going to come into play. You know, how many announcers do you allow in? Do you allow the team announcers? Do you just have national broadcasters? You know, what is it going to look like? So what are some things that you've heard from that aspect of how this could go?
Well, I think that one of the things I think everybody's going to be worried about is liability. You know, lawyers, I joked about, you know, I work for a TV station. I'm at the root of all evil. We know that the true evil in the world is lawyers, right? And I guarantee you every single one of our employers' lawyers are saying, you know, what's the liability of putting people here to work? So I'm sure that's a question, you know, or, you know, like, you know, some of us in broadcasting are older than the players. What are our concerns? What are our employers' concerns? I actually did an article about this a couple of weeks ago and speaking to one of my bosses. And, you know, I think they're discussing several things. I think they're discussing would, for example, the Nashville broadcast be able to go on site and broadcast your games? Would not, or will there be a generic broadcast at each hub that is sent out to everybody, whether it's Sportsnet announcers, whether it's NBC announcers? One of the suggestions I heard, for example, was if the hub had been in Carolina, would the Carolina broadcasters, John Forsland and Tripp Tracy, broadcast for everyone, even though those two guys are both garbage? I'm just kidding. They're great guys. that had been discussed. And the other thing, too, I think that's possible is, you know, do you do a clean feed? And for those of you who aren't familiar, does that mean that they just send out a feed that comes into your studio and you guys call it from there and you guys, you know, host it from there with all your talent and you put the Nashville graphics package all over it from your control room? I think all of those things are going to be discussed, but I always believe in this moment the big question is how comfortable do people feel working? And how comfortable are employers with their employees working?
Yeah, well, and I asked the question because, you know, I'm a big NASCAR fan, and they've made their return, and their announcers are back at a studio. They are not at the racetrack.
Yeah.
They have one pit reporter that those are the boots on the ground, so to speak, and they've been back at the studio. So I have, and we've discussed that on this show. Willie obviously doing play-by-play for the Predators, it affects him of – would it be what you just laid out of more of the clean feed back at the studio? But the other question that comes to mind, and you've kind of answered it with, if let's just say they do the two hubs with 12 teams at one and 12 at the other, it would obviously, you're playing one game at a time, but you have multiple games a day. So would they want more than one broadcast crew, obviously, to cover that? Would they consider playing a game at a practice rink since you don't have fans? What are some things you've heard from that?
I have not heard that. I think it's a very legitimate question. I was told to expect triple headers. And you know, you still got to have rest days, right? And we're talking about best of five in the play-in round and best of seven in the final four rounds. So it's a lot. But you're going to have rest days and triple headers. You know, I've got to think the other thing, too, is I wouldn't be surprised, guys, if I was an employer, I'd be asking, you know, what our fans want. And I've got to think that if I was in the Nashville market and I got a chance to call, like, say, that first round against Arizona, I'd probably want you guys calling it. I want the guys I know. I want Lindsay at the desk. I want you guys calling the game. If I'm listening, and I don't know how it's going to work with radio. I don't know if it's going to be simulcast or whatever, but I want my Nashville broadcast. And so I wouldn't be surprised if in the first round especially, they just say, you know, here's your option. You can't all come, but do you want to do it from home? And we'll provide you with a clean feed. And maybe they have one broadcast from there that people they can use if they want to. But that's the other thing I didn't mention. Like, guys, like, if I'm a Predators fan and I've been missing hockey and you guys are playing Arizona in the first round, I want to see the people I'm used to, especially when the games matter.
I agree.
If the answer when you ask the fan base is we want the national people, then you probably got the wrong crews during your games. I can't imagine anybody choosing that. Because usually people get ticked. It's just the opposite. It's funny. Yeah. Elliot, here in this market, we've had so much fun at, you know, for a long time with the Titans and then even the Predators, certain runs. What does the national media talk about? It's always complaining, like, why does the national media and why aren't we ever on a national stage? And then when you get it and then the Preds get the maximum, it's like, oh, man, I want our local broadcasters. I don't want to hear the national feed. So it's like you can't win. But, you know, overall, a fan base better be choosing their local crew.
I agree with that. And of course, there's some points where the national rights holders, we pay the big money, so we take over. But as long as possible, you want, especially now, like, you know, we've been missing, especially if you're someone who really misses the Predators and you get a chance to watch them again this year, I think you want to see the people you're used to.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. When do you think we're going to have the answers, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, like, there's still so much to talk about here. I think we might get the answers on a return to play format by the end of the weekend. I think that's the goal.
But the
one thing I was talking about with someone is, the details are unbelievable of all of the things. Like, if you read that 67-page document from MLB, like, about what them and their players are talking about, and I realized that could get modified here and there, but it's enormous, the kinds of things that they're kind of going through. And, you know, the testing, the sourcing of the protective equipment, all of the families, all of this stuff. There's so much work. There's so many tiny details. But like I said, guys, I don't think we're going to see phase three, which is the training camps, probably until the end of June at the earliest, or late in June to the earliest. So I think while you might get a playoff structure by the end of the weekend, I think we've still got another month before they're hoping to have guys in training camps.
Okay. By the way, I hope you didn't take that the wrong way on the national thing. That's not.
Seriously, are you really apologizing to me?
Yeah, because I, you know.
We're all friends here. Like, you can tell me the truth. I don't get hurt.
No, though, that's not. In fact, we try all the time to defend the national people say, hey, they're really good at their, they're not supposed to know more about your team. They're not here on an everyday basis than your local crews. I mean, give them a break. They're not, if they mispronounce the name, that's part of it. They don't live here. They don't follow this team. So they're really good at their job, but you have to cut them some slack. I mean, they're not supposed to know everything that the local crews do. So we do that. But
it's totally cool. I have no problem that people in Nashville might love you guys more than me. I don't know how it's possible, but I'll say that I can understand how it could happen.
Did I save this for next? I mean, did I do enough repair for you to join us next week, or did I ruin it?
Like, seriously, we're all adults here. You guys can rip me. I can rip you. Nobody's got a problem.
Elliot, thanks as always. I'm glad the weather is
good
warmer.
Job, Darren.
So, Darren, get prepared to get ripped next week.
There's no question.
Please,
look,
we encourage it.
I'm prepared to cover all the blame because I have obviously stepped in it with my comments.
No, it's all good. Seriously,
go out and shoot hoops with your son. Enjoy the weather.
All right, guys, you too. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. We'll come back and discuss some of what you just heard, and I'll clean up my shoes. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.